Hello, I'm Dan Aykroyd, and welcome to this fine motion picture emporium. It's nice to know you're here tonight, rather than at home shoving cheap little plastic cartridges into cheap imported video systems that keep you and your family hostage in your own home or apartment. Now let's face it, big screen entertainment is what it's all about. We've enjoyed it for years. Movies are great. There's nothing like a good movie, or even a bad one for that matter.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Meanwhile,
How you doing?
All right, let's do it.
Go. Hello and welcome to another edition of A Couple of Average Joe's Movie Reviews. I am Joe Spiegel.
I'm Mike Sutherland.
All right. Yay. This week we are talking about the film Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2, which, god damn it, dude, I don't even want to talk about this fucking movie, but we're going to anyway, because whatever, it's a job, right? So,
it's not a job, it's passion.
All right, yes. All right, we're going to talk about our Netflix picks of the week. Mine's going to be the new show Jessica Jones.
I haven't seen it because I was expecting that it wasn't going to be on until next year.
Yeah,
I thought they said 2016.
Well, they lied, Mike.
Fuckers. And then
talk about the Civil War trailer.
Yeah.
Captain America.
My picks of the week are Airplane and Airplane 2.
God.
Dude, I love those movies. Nobody picks these movies anyways. So, you go through, like, if you watch podcasts or if you listen to podcasts,
yeah,
everything is always about the current, right? And you don't really hear a lot of talk about, my brain's not working. You don't really hear a lot of talk about,
farcical?
Past movies.
Oh.
Parodies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Good parodies. And, it gets kind of mind-numbing. It gets boring just to listen to this. You know,
hey, so welcome to our podcast, and we're going to talk about The Hunger Games and what the other movie that came, Creed, and the other one the night before, and then we'll maybe blah, blah, blah.
Maybe we'll have some popcorn and have a good time.
Yeah. And that's fine, but I like to mix things up.
Yeah.
So I go with my comfort zone, which is 80s. I'm still waiting for Porky's to come out so I can watch it.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Porky's in a long, long time. I love that fucking movie. It's a great fucking comedy.
I think I am due to watch the first one again because I had it on videotape and I watched it for the first time like about 10 to 15 years ago. And it is so goddamn funny.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie's consistently funny, but there are some scenes in it where it is funnier than any entire film that we have seen in the last 3 years that we've been doing this. Just the whole howling thing with Kim Cattrall's character, or the whole scene where Bell Bricker is describing the kid's penis to the principal.
It's Ball Bricker.
That was Bell Bricker.
No, it's Ball Bricker.
We talked about this before.
It's Ball Bricker, not Bell Bricker.
They called her Ball Breaker, but
no,
it's
her
Bell
name
Bricker.
Is Ball Bricker.
You look it up.
Okay.
Anyway.
I wouldn't know because I haven't watched that movie like a lot.
When she's describing it and everyone is trying to keep from busting up laughing, I'm just like them when I'm watching it. I am fucking like giggling. And when they uproar, I fucking uproar. And it's great. It is so well done.
The scene where she's in the principal's office and the gym coach or whatever his name is, the one that didn't screw Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
But was standing behind the mat in the gym laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
When they're in the principal's office and she's talking about grabbing that guy's crank.
Yeah.
And he is trying to keep a straight face until she says something, and they both, the old principal and him, start fucking laughing and just uncontrollable laughing, which when I'm watching that scene, you don't see that anymore in anything.
Yeah.
Except for Big Bang Theory. When you see people actually enjoying doing their work, like when Sheldon is talking with Leonard and Kaley Cuoco, her character. When they're all standing there and she gets a smile on her face, these genuine reactions and laughs, that's cool. But when everybody else is not laughing or just, when somebody says something funny and they're just taking it way too serious,
it doesn't
even resonate with me. I don't understand why it can't just be natural and people start laughing.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's just, it's a condition thing now in most comedies.
Yeah, it's forced.
Yep.
It's skitty. It's very skittish.
Yes.
So, all right, let's get Mockingjay out of the way because, look, I personally, and I know I got to throw puns out there all the time, and I'm going to throw one out right now. I think that they're fucking mocking us by making us pay another $11 plus to see this film when it should have just been Mockingjay instead of Mockingjay Part 1 and 2, especially after we saw this film. It is got to be up there with one of the most disappointing films I've seen in recent memory.
It takes on the tradition, I say in air quotes.
Yeah.
Of splitting up the final book in the series,
yeah,
or this, you know, the final movie in the series into, yeah, two pieces, just like they did with Deathly Hallows, which was really good.
Yeah, and Breaking Dawn.
And Breaking Dawn, and then this one. And there was another one that they were planning on doing, but I can't, like, Insurgent or...
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to split up the Insurgents. Probably. I haven't seen any of those. I don't care to see those at all.
Yeah, I'm not interested either.
You know, and we didn't even go see the sequel to Maze Runner. You know, the Scorch Trials.
I've never even seen it.
Yeah, I saw the first one. It wasn't bad, but still.
I refuse to watch these movies. I refuse to watch complete copies of Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Because Hunger Games did it so well.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, you got to have one. But now it's everybody, all the studios are going after their Hunger Games / Battle Royale bullshit.
And all
or
this,
Twilight or whatever.
And then they add a little extra teen angst into them. They already had teen angst in them. And now they focus more on that than anything.
Yeah, so you get Maze Runner, you get Insurgent.
I think that's one of the biggest things that
Divergent
hurt
whatever.
The Half-Blood Prince with Harry Potter was they had way too much teen angst bullshit in it instead of dealing with the Horcrux story, which is way more fascinating.
If you read the book, you would know.
I know. Well, that's what I mean, though. I don't want to go into a review of that movie, but...
We're not. I'm not going into a review. You generally go into a review of the fucking movie.
There was teen angst throughout the whole series, which is fine, but it seemed like they focused way more of it in the Half-Blood Prince movie, and...
Oh, you're talking about Half-Blood... Okay, I'm talking about Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, and I'm using the teen angst thing. So, it just... That pisses me off because they're like, oh, well, that's what's big now. That's what's selling tickets.
Right, but they didn't do that in the Harry Potter movies. They didn't focus on teen angst. If you read the fucking book...
Yeah.
And you watch the movie, it's virtually word for word.
Did you not notice in the Half-Blood Prince movie that they spent way too much time with Ron's relationship with Lavender Brown or whatever the fuck her name
they
was?
They did that in the book.
Yes, but they spent way...
Did you read the book?
Yes, I read all the books.
Okay.
Okay. They could have spent way more time dealing with Harry, Dumbledore, and the Horcruxes.
That's not how it works. You don't jump into just whatever. I mean, the book had to build. You had to build relationships, just like they did in the book. So that's what they were doing. And this series isn't just one movie; it's eight movies.
Yeah.
So you can't, or nine movies, or whatever it is.
It seemed to me that when David Yates took over, there were a lot of things that he made bigger, more important than they were in the book, and then things that were important in the books that he made them less important. I'll give you a great example. The Dursleys. Holy shit. When David Yates took over and did the last four films, he put the Dursleys almost in the complete background at all. I mean,
okay. Good point.
Come on. I mean, look at Deathly Hallows from the book standpoint. There is a really important thing that happens between the Dursleys and Harry when at the beginning of the book when the Dursleys go away for their own safety.
Right.
And there was an important scene where Dudley stands up for Harry. It was important to the characters because you've been with him on this journey throughout all these books.
But he did that in the movie.
But no, he didn't. No, he did not. In the movie, it just had Mr. Dursley looking disapprovingly at Harry and then getting in the car and driving away. That was it. It pissed me off. Seriously.
Not from what I've read. I mean, I haven't seen the movie in a while, but...
I just read a thing again. He didn't even have a line. The actor who played Mr. Dursley didn't even have a line in Deathly Hallows.
Well, he's dead now.
Yeah, he just died, but...
Yeah, so anyways, I thought for sure that in the movie, Dudley did the same thing.
No, it pissed me off.
Did you... I mean, when was you the last time you watched it?
I'm
not... You know what? You're generally right about this shit, so...
Yeah,
I've been right once in the last 151 episodes, so fuck it.
There have been a lot of things from the books that I forgot, and then when someone reminded me, I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I forgot about that. But there's certain things that I remember specifically because I was waiting for them to happen in the movie when I saw it, and I was disappointed when it didn't happen. And it seems like that's what, you know, David Yates, he cut a lot of things back. And I understand you have to because of time constraints, but still, certain things that are important, you need to keep in there regardless. But whatever. Fuck it. It's already over with. And I love the Harry Potter films. So, you know, they're better than most. And they're definitely, and it ends on a high note. This film series ends on a completely low note, and it is absolutely disappointing, and we're going to tear it apart.
Yes.
Me and you together, we're going to destroy this film because I am so disappointed. To me, this whole film series was like a foreplay leading up to the big moment, okay? You had first with the first Hunger Games, wasn't a bad movie. It had a you know, a lot of problems. It was very, you know, adolescent in its, you know, in its first steps. But then you had Catching Fire, which was done by Francis Lawrence, who he seemed to do a better version of Part One with Catching Fire. And I'm like, holy shit, this is even better. You know, Jennifer Lawrence is coming into her own as an actress. She, you know, this is going good. And then last year we saw Mockingjay Part One, and it was good. I mean, they cut the movie in half, you know, the book in half, and it didn't miss a beat for me. The action was good. The drama was good. Jennifer Lawrence kicked ass. You know, she's the heroine, man. And then all of a sudden we get to the final movie, which was filmed at the same time that Part One was filmed at, and it completely... It feels like the load has already been blown in between films. Like, nothing. There was nothing exciting in this film at all. Everything's a downer. Nothing resonated. It was like a complete waste of time. It was like almost like everyone was like, dude, let's just finish this shit so we can move on to other projects or something. It made no sense to me.
When we saw the first one, this part one,
I brought that over for you to watch the same day we went and watched Catching Fire at the movies, and you watched it right before we went to the movies. It was when you were still dating?
I'm not talking about the first one.
Oh, you're talking about Mockingjay Part One.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
But you weren't listening.
Sorry.
Asshole.
Sorry.
So shut up and listen. No. When we watched Part One last year or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
And I wasn't impressed with it. I had different expectations.
I thought you liked it.
It was okay, but I had different expectations.
Okay.
And, you know, it left on a note of down. You know, it was a down note. And then... when we went to go see this one, I had no expectations going into it because final movie of the series. But as it was going, I couldn't get into the movie.
Nope.
It was too long. There wasn't enough Donald Sutherland in it.
Nope.
They had to make some changes, obviously, like at the end where Woody Harrelson's reading that piece of paper.
Yeah.
I just had a feeling that Philip Seymour Hoffman was supposed to tell her this.
Yeah, because...
Or that.
He died a week before filming ended, and there were two scenes that he wasn't able to finish. And so that paper reading, that note, I'm pretty sure was one of them. And I think the other scene was when he was standing with the president in the back, the new president in the background.
Right.
I could tell that they had...
Coin. You know, President Coin.
No, not with Coin. Coin, I mean, this is afterwards, after the black lady gets appointed as president. When he's standing in the background, I could tell that it looked like he was, you know, digitally put there. But... anyway.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, when it comes to this movie, it's just not...
What are you looking at?
Says, what would you name this dog?
Oh, fuck.
Exactly.
Damn. Make sure you give him his treats on time. Shit. That dog looks like a damn puma, like a Black Panther. All right.
I'd name him Captain Marvel.
That's a good name.
Either that, well, there... No.
No, I'd name him Wakanda.
No, no. I would name him Ex Mortis.
Okay. All right. Everything in this movie is disappointing. I know I already said it, but I'm going to say it again. The major characters in this film, major actors, every single one of them, including Jennifer Lawrence, had nothing. Jennifer Lawrence is in the whole movie, but everyone else seemed like they were barely there. And when they were there, they didn't really have anything important to say. Okay? Everything seemed like a downer. Everyone seemed just like, I know it's this big battle and all this shit, but there was no energy. I didn't feel any energy from anybody. It was just like... I don't understand. It was like Ritalin or something. It didn't make sense how this went played out, because I really liked Part One. Part One I thought was a good setup to this one, and then all of a sudden it just like it showed me that splitting a book into two parts is not always a good idea.
Yeah, there was a lot of wasted. There was a lot of filler space, which is what you said.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of wasted effort in my opinion.
Yeah,
they could have put all of this into the first movie, and then we could have just been done with it. But they dragged it out. The studio dragged it out. Yeah. Really, is what they did, and that's a problem.
And then this is another thing: if they had filmed it the same exact way that they did for this film, and then just all made it into one film, it still wouldn't have. The second half would have been horrible because no one seemed to really care that they were even in this movie. It seemed like,
yeah, they were just going through the motions. It's like Return of the Jedi.
You thought that way about Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, you didn't notice.
I did with Han Solo.
Carrie Fisher. She just wasn't... She was fucking so coked out of her head. Yeah. But,
okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, because I always focus on Luke. That's why.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. You, yeah. So Yeah, every single actor. And it's extremely disappointing that this is probably the last time I'm ever going to see Philip Seymour Hoffman on the big screen. And
yeah, that's what they keep saying. They're like, this is Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movie. No, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure he's got like six movies in the vault.
All the other ones that they talked about have already been released. So, and I haven't seen them all.
Fucking doubt it.
But anyway, I'm just saying, probably the last time I'm ever going to see him on the big screen. And it's sad because he didn't say shit in this movie. He didn't say anything. He was quiet. Everyone was quiet in this.
Julianne Moore's character was even interesting.
Yeah, and that's also what pissed me off is that there's something about her character that, you find out that she's just as bad as President Snow.
Right.
And the lead into it was shit. It was boring. Every time they showed her, she's just sitting at a table saying yes to this and no to that. And we should do, and then all of a sudden when you find out the truth that she's just as bad as Snow, just on the other side,
right.
There was no proper lead into it. It was just, oh, by the way, did you notice that
I'm a bad guy?
It wasn't me that did this. It was her that did this.
Right.
And you're like, no shit. But the way they do it, it doesn't matter. It wasn't revelatory.
Right.
It just was like, okay. It was just like, it was like moving into another scene. It didn't matter. It was just.
Yeah. I mean, the best scene in the entire movie was the revolution scene when Snow tells them to bring everybody come to the gates and we'll house you.
Yeah.
Right. And then they didn't open the gates. And then all of a sudden those bombs started dropping into the air.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it was fucking brutal.
It was.
And I didn't expect, that's one thing I didn't expect about this movie. And the one thing about this movie that I respect, which is they kill people.
Yeah.
You know, they show the fucking horrors of war.
I have, people don't see what I have in front of me, but I have my notes. And every week for every movie
and your penis?
Yes. I always got to draw penises, man. I'm just like, Jonah Hill. I'm super bad. But every week I have a list of do's and don'ts for this film. What works, what doesn't work. And most of the time I have my do's outweigh my don'ts. This time around, I'm looking at my notepad. I have one do for this film. And it's just on a handful of action scenes in this movie. Everything else is negatives. Don'ts. I have over 10 don'ts for this film. And there's things I brought up that I didn't even write down. This movie is a complete waste of time. Complete waste of time.
Right.
And
I totally agree.
It's not the worst film of the year, but when you add it into this journey that we've gone with Katniss Everdeen throughout this whole series, for it to end this way is
pathetic.
It is absolutely pathetic.
This isn't Pixels bad.
No.
You know, by any means necessary. By any means, not by any means necessary. This isn't what else? What else do we have at the bottom of the list?
Agent 47.
Yeah, and then the other Adam Sandler movie, Hollywood Hotel Transylvania.
We had a few other bad ones,
but yeah, this is middle of the pack. You know, it's not great, it's not bad. No. It is what it is.
This is Matrix Revolutions disappointing to me.
Okay, I can see that.
You know, even though
this is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull disappointing.
That movie didn't disappoint me, but by the end I was falling asleep and I fucking didn't really care about the alien shit.
Right.
But and then the dumb shit with Mutt. Okay, but other than that,
right.
I really enjoyed it, but yeah. So, but with Matrix Revolutions, it was like when Matrix Reloaded came out, it was had so many cool action scenes in it that you're able to forgive all the shitty story and excess, mythology added into it, right? But then when you get to Revolutions, to this big conclusion, the movie just ends on this. I don't know. It felt so incomplete and just like this movie. They blow it up to be this huge ending climactic battle, and instead, it is as much of a dead lay as when you see Katniss and Peeta in bed, just sitting there holding each other with these frail looks on their faces, and they're like, they can't even look at each other and start making out or anything. They're just like, oh.
You want to know what the biggest awkward moment in the movie was?
What?
Is when she's sitting in the meadow watching Peeta with her older
son,
daughter,
yeah.
Or son, yeah, daughter, son, whatever it is.
She was with her daughter, he was with his son, yeah.
Look like two daughters. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They're children, right?
Yeah.
And she's holding the baby, and she looks so fucking awkward holding that baby.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have a kid.
Yeah.
So she's sitting there, she's holding the baby and whatever, and she's holding it like she's an aunt.
Yeah.
Not like she's the mother.
Like right before the camera turned on, someone handed her the baby out of nowhere and goes, can you hold this for a minute?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, can you watch my kid? I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Look, man.
And then they're gone for like 3 hours.
When Deathly Hallows ended, my eyes were filled with tears because it was the end of this whole journey that I've gone on, right?
Right.
And I cared about all the characters. I cared about everybody. And for it to come to its end and still be so good, it felt complete.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it was the opposite. I didn't give a fuck at all. And I wondered why the hell I just spent all this time watching these other films, buying these other films, and writing reviews for them.
Only to have someone push me on the ground, throw me under a glass table, and then shit on it.
Exactly. What a fucking downer. What a disappointment. What a just waste of all of our time.
Yeah. By the way, that picture of that dog,
yeah.
I decided what to name it.
What?
Mydick.
Mydick?
Mydick.
With a Y?
M-Y-D-I-C-K.
Okay.
Mydick. What's going on? Look at how big my dick is. My dick is rubbing against my leg.
That's great.
My awesome. Dick really likes you.
Awesome dick. All right.
Do you like it when my dick rubs against you? See? It works.
Yeah. All right. So let's break the movie down a little bit because we're not going to do a scene for scene. We're not.
I don't want to break. We don't need to break it down.
The
movie. Just...
I thought that there was way too much focus on the PETA character again. Okay. Josh Hutcherson, as a child actor, he was fine. I liked him in Sathura and Bridge to Terabithia. He was fine. And a couple other little things I saw him in. He was fine. Okay. But in this, to make him a main character and to try to keep us interested with him throughout all four of these films. Sorry.
Pass.
Yeah, exactly. I never saw the relationship between him and Katniss ever. I don't care if the book says it's how it's supposed to be. Guess what? It was bad casting from the get-go.
It didn't resonate. It wasn't... There was no tension.
No.
You know? There was supposed to be this triangle tension between Hemsworth and Lawrence and Hutcherson.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. They were phoning it in.
Yeah.
That the whole, all the love scenes, or not even love scenes, all, you know, I'm going to just go call it what it is. The Star Warsian space opera love, okay?
Yeah.
Where it's just basically them kissing.
Yeah.
Right? But again, I watched Empire Strikes Back last night, okay?
Uh-huh.
And my nephew was over. So I threw in the old Empire, not the one special edition.
Okay.
And just the tension between Luke, Leia, and Han, you know? And I'm like, Kazan's fucking amazing when he writes this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how good he's going to be with the new film, but even when you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark or any Kazan movie that he wrote, The Big Chill, things like that.
You bringing up Raiders of the Lost Ark, that scene where they're on the boat and she hits him with a mirror?
Yeah.
Right before that, when he goes, oh, no, right after that, when she goes, well, God damn it, Indy, where does it hurt? Where does it not hurt?
He points to his elbow.
Yeah.
And then he points to his eye.
And then to his lips.
And then his forehead, and then his eye, and then his lips.
Yeah. There's way much more sexual tension and intimacy in that scene.
And then he falls asleep.
Than anything with Jennifer Lawrence, Liam Hemsworth, and fucking Josh Hutcherson.
But if you watch like Continental Divide with Belushi and I think it's Karen Allen, you know, there's huge amounts of sexual tension there. The Big Chill,
yeah.
You know. Even though I'm talking about 80s movies, fucking Jurassic Park between, you know, Jeff Goldblum.
And Laura Dern. Yeah.
Or...
Of course, they were fucking on the side at the time.
Or Alien, you know.
Yeah.
Even though that's not supposed to have any sexual tension, the tension is there between Hicks and Ripley.
And Ripley, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And to build that stuff up,
yeah.
You have to have characters that are... not characters. You have to have actors that are interested in who they're acting with.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And this is just... This is bland writing.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's someone sitting out and going, oh, and PETA does this. And then, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Jennifer Lawrence does this. And then you feel the tension in the air. It's like they're projecting basic sentences to try to have the sexual tension between three people. And it doesn't work.
PETA and Katniss look like, when they're finally together in bed, just laying there, staring off into space, they look like a young old couple. They look like a young, old, damaged couple who have been through this traumatic thing, and they look like they're never going to see happiness ever again.
Well.
But there's no connection between them. And you know, and it's funny because we already brought up Twilight, and I'll show you what bad directors do. In New Moon, which was the second Twilight film, there is a great amount of sexual tension between Jacob's character and Bella's character. It was so, I mean, there's no scene where they kiss or anything, but the sexual tension between them is palpable. And this film, and then when then you cut to Eclipse, which was done by a different director, and the sexual tension was gone. And they have a kissing scene, and it felt nothing. It was like there was this huge buildup, right, from the second film between these two characters. And finally, when they kissed at the end of Eclipse, there was nothing. It was so poorly shot and everything. It's
Mad Max.
Uh-huh.
Between Charlize Theron and
Tom Hardy.
Yeah, how soon we forget. I can't get over how the Revenant trailer and Tom Hardy is talking.
Yeah.
And he's got this fucking, like, this weird pioneer style accent.
Yeah, it's like a hick Civil War accent.
And it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it bugs the shit out of me because, you know, he's...
Sounds like Ted Levine.
Yeah, he's so fucking good. Anyways. Yeah. But...
We buried him proper.
When you have a movie that's this important, I'm not going to say it's important. When you have a series that you've built up over time, and the first movie was good, you know, there was good amounts of tension. This movie lacks a proper director.
Yeah.
And proper direction, you know. After part one, I could see where this movie went off the rails. It went from possibly being one of the best series to meh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I own the first three films on, you know, Blu-ray, DVD, right? And I am seriously contemplating not ever buying this final piece to add to the collection.
You're going to have to do it anyways.
I know, but I'm not going to go out and spend $20 on it. I'll wait till it's used or it's discounted under $10.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're watching, you know, The Lord of the Rings or whatever else, you know, your trilogy as opposed to my trilogy.
Yeah.
And as much as it deviates from the books, that series didn't suffer from lack of direction.
That's right.
The Hobbit did, but there are issues with that anyway, so I'm not going to worry about that.
It was overdone.
Yeah.
Overdone.
Again, I mean, it's the same problem. That's a movie series that the second one shouldn't have been split into two movies.
Yeah, and you know what? And the extended edition just came out for the final Hobbit film.
Right.
With the other two, I fucking went out and bought them quick. But with this one, I haven't gone out to buy it, and I could have bought. I've seen it like three times now when I'm in the store, and I haven't grabbed it.
Right.
I don't really care to because it was such a disappointment. Yeah.
And I'll even go so far as to say, like, even with the new Star Wars movies, the whole tension and stuff like that. Again, George Lucas is an awful writer. We all know that. And the problem is that everybody turned him down that he wanted to have rights. So he had to write the whole fucking thing himself.
Yeah.
And then he had Carrie Fisher come in and do some script doctoring. And then he went back and fixed some stuff anyways.
Yeah.
But my point being is that Lucas takes all the blame for anything that goes wrong. And this director should take all the blame for everything that goes wrong as well.
Yeah.
Lack of direction, lack of characters really caring about each other, and just phoning it in.
And that's what I don't understand, because Francis Lawrence, I've seen his other works, and he's done a good job with other films he's done. He did Constantine, which you even said yourself, it's not a bad film as long as you don't compare it to the comic book.
Yeah, right? As long as you keep it separate from...
Yeah.
If you make it John Wick 1.0...
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah. And then also he did I Am Legend, which if you don't compare it to the source material, it's not a bad movie.
Right.
Okay. And then he did Water for Elephants, which I never saw.
Which is supposed to be a really good movie.
Yeah. You know, it had Christoph Waltz in it. And, you know, and he did Catching Fire. And like I said before, Catching Fire is a better version of Hunger Games, the first Hunger Games. So for him, you know, he already showed that he could direct a good movie with Catching Fire. So then when he did Mockingjay Part 1, I was like, okay, he's on a consistent course for me that he's doing a good job. So I thought that Mockingjay Part 2 was going to be good as well.
Well, now that you bring all that stuff up, I wonder how much studio tampering was involved.
Yeah.
You know, to pressuring him to get the movie done.
Well, if you notice, in the span of 3 years, 3.5 years, 4 films were released.
Right.
So that's rushed. I don't care if they already had planned to do this. You need to slow down a little bit. I understand that you're worried about losing your audience over time because everyone's got to jump onto the newest, bigger thing, right? But if you want quality and you want long-lasting quality, you got to slow down, take your time, and make it done right.
Yeah, and that's my problem is that people, I still think that, you know, everybody complains about we live in this...
Now.
Yeah, now, instant gratification society. I find that hard to believe anymore as I sit and watch people and everybody says, oh, well, you know, just slow down, relax, do this. Like when you're driving.
Yeah.
You know, and you're talking to your significant other or somebody and they're like, just slow down, turn on the radio and relax. It's traffic. You're just going to have to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the younger generation is a little bit more instant gratification type thing.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, I don't think it's as bad as we think it is, or as we're led to believe through media bullshit.
I think it depends on what category it's in. When it comes to entertainment or the newest.
No, I don't buy it. Bullshit. I don't buy it. You know why?
Why?
Because people will go out and spend money on a movie. They'll go out and see the movie.
Yeah.
And then they'll go and buy the movie on DVD. That's, you know, they'll wait 6 months for all the extra features or whatever it takes so that they can watch the movie again. That's not instant gratification. That's waiting. You know, Adele. Adele just released her new album.
Yeah.
Right? You want instant gratification? You download the album, right? And then you, for free, you go to like wherever. You torrent the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then you download all of her shit. Adele has done one thing that most artists haven't done in the last 15 years, which is she sold like 2 million albums.
Yeah.
And she's the first artist in a long, long time. So let me see. If you put out good music, and stuff that people like to hear and listen to, people will buy it and won't download it. Is that instant gratification?
No.
So I find it hard to believe that we're being forced into this little niche where people are being said, we're telling people, you need it now, you need it faster, bigger, whatever.
I know. I know there's still quality out there. But when you see all the pop hits that are forgotten in 2 months and all this shit.
That's because no one gives a shit.
But at that moment.
Again, the instant gratification doesn't last. So that's why I say I call bullshit on instant gratification. Not on what you're saying,
yeah.
But what we're being force-fed.
Yeah, well...
That's why I call bullshit on it. Nobody wants to listen to it because it's garbage.
People our age are still consumers, so...
No, everybody's a consumer.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is we're still consumers, and we're still buying, you know, the new things too as well. But we seem to be more patient.
No, everybody's that way. That's what I'm trying to get to. Unless you're in Walmart, then everybody's an asshole.
Yeah.
And then trying to force themselves through lines. And mostly it's the older crowd.
Well, that's because they bottleneck everyone in there.
But it's the older crowd, not the younger crowd.
Yeah.
The older crowd gets all pissy.
Yeah.
It's because they want to get in and get out. Here's the thing. I don't buy that the younger generation is instant gratification. I work with those guys.
Yeah.
And most of those guys, they don't give a fuck. They're like, okay, well, I want this, so I'm going to have to wait and then save my money. Instead of, oh, well, I can go be a stripper and make $1,000 in a week, you know, and then get everything, get the tattoos or whatever the fuck I want, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's instant gratification. But no, these people, they're like, they wait and plan. That's not instant gratification. It's they know what they're doing. I think the problem is that we've projected this. We projected ourselves onto this, whatever you want to call it, millennials, Gen Y, or Gen X, or I don't know. I don't know what to fucking call them.
Yeah.
I guess we're Gen X's.
Well, in the 80s, they were calling everyone Diane Keaton's age baby boomers.
Right, but we're not baby boomers.
Yeah.
Baby boomers were born in the 40s and 50s.
Is it that late? Early? Hmm. Okay.
My parents were baby boomers. Your parents are baby boomers. Hmm. But, you know, then, yeah, so we're Gen something. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Anyways, we're the ones that grew up with the instant gratification of now. Video games and movies and, you know, microwavable bullshit, hot dogs, right? Everything given to us now, force-fed. And then the next generation up realized that, well, fuck, you know, we did this to these people.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we could do. And then they realized the generation after us kind of got fucked. That's kind of like your generation, 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the generation prior, you know, so Alicia's generation figured out that it's kind of a little bit of both. And now, and the generation before that is like, we don't give a fuck. They're like the real 60s revolution hippie generation.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to build into the system. That's why I say this whole, I don't buy into the younger crowd being instant gratification. I think it's us. I think it's me and you and our generation, my brother. You know, we want everything right fucking now, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I'm maybe applying the wrong word to the current young generation. I think they're spoiled.
Okay, I can see that.
Everything is already here. It's already out. It's instant for them. They're used to being able to go out and get whatever they want and not having to really wait for it.
Right.
I think that's what it is. It's so, I mean, it's kind of an instant gratification, but...
Again, we're projecting our instant gratification problems onto them, and I don't believe it. I don't buy it that they are all of them, you know? as bad off as we are.
I will say this. I can tell that my generation is a lot more patient than younger generations.
Bullshit.
No.
That's horseshit, dude. It's horseshit.
I'll give you an example. If I'm stuck somewhere.
Go to fucking Walmart. There's your example.
If I'm stuck somewhere and I have to, like, say I'm picking up a prescription or something and I have to sit somewhere and I don't have my phone on me. I've got nothing on me. I can sit there patiently 20, 30 minutes to a half
hour,
to an
hour. You're fucking full of horseshit. No. I do it all the time. I go to doctors 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And if I see people sitting around, they're on their phones. You know what generation that is? My mother's generation. All the way down to me. Always on the phone or walking around or going outside.
Even your niece and nephew are constantly on an electronic device.
But that's not instant gratification. You know what they do half the time on the electronic device? They sit there and watch movies.
Yeah.
That's it. Or they watch a YouTube video or whatever. They're not doing anything. And half the time, my niece doesn't give a fuck. She doesn't even bring her phone with her.
God, I would love to see that in my household.
So, again, we're projecting the instant gratification thing on everybody. Like I said, you go to Walmart and you take one of those metal benches that they put inside and just put it right in, set it down so you can watch the whole cashier thing, right? Yeah. And watch the amount of baby boomer asshole instant gratification sluts there are out there. I want you to help me right now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, right fucking now. And then you have the younger generation going, well, why don't you just fucking calm down? Relax, dude. I'll get to it when I get to it.
You know why? Because they're all on Ritalin.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying that a vast majority of these younger generation seem like, because we're projecting it onto them.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, well,
But it's us. It's not them. It's us.
Yeah. So back to the movie. For competitive reasons, I think that the studios just pump these movies out as quickly as possible so that the fire doesn't die down.
That's and they're the ones that think that this whole Gen X thing, the statistics and pulling all these information numbers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they're like, well, we need the 18 to 22 crowd, but we don't know if we can handle that. These instant gratification twits.
They're not
IG twits. They don't give a fuck.
And it's like they're trying to force young people to accept it. Yeah, you're right. And I mean, look at the Twilight films. Each Twilight film was either a year to a year and a half released apart from each other. And then same thing with Divergent. There's a new Divergent film every fucking year. There's another Maze Runner film every year.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's all garbage.
It's pop.
Right.
It's bubblegum.
It's the Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, what is the new one? Zendaya. Have you heard of Zendaya? Selena Gomez. Zendaya is another one of those Nickelodeon Disney stars.
No, I haven't heard.
I don't know who the fuck she is. All I know is that there's a commercial with her face on it for Proactive, right?
Yeah.
And they always do these stupid commercials where, like, Zendaya has such a rough schedule. I'm 15 years old, and I don't want to sit around all day because I have a busy schedule. No, you don't. You don't have a busy schedule. Like most 15-year-olds, we have busy schedules, and we just don't have time to wash our face. That's the commercial.
Yeah.
And like, every commercial is like this. It bugs the shit out of me. Just these stupid fucking writers that write this garbage.
Yeah.
Like, my niece is 12, my nephew is 10, and I know a lot of 18-year-olds, and to say that you don't have time when you're 15 to wash your face before you go to bed, I mean, that's chintzy bullshit.
Kind of insulting.
Yeah. You're a 15-year-old on the move, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this.
You have a time to take your fucking shower. You have time to wash your face.
I don't have time to poop.
Okay. So I poop on the go in magical poop bags.
I could see that being an SNL skit.
I just created it.
Yeah. Lorne Michaels, you better be listening.
There we go. Magical poop bags.
All right. So I haven't written my review for Mockingjay Part 2 yet, but I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be giving it about a 3.5 to a 4. Maybe even lower. I don't know how much anger is going to come out when I finally do write the review. Because the only thing positive about these...
3.5 to a 4? We do it on a scale of 1 to 100, jerk.
1 to 10.
No, we do percentage. It hasn't been that long since we've done a fucking movie review. We do a Rotten Tomatoes scale index.
You want to do it that? Okay. Well, if...
With 3.5.
Okay. You know...
I'm giving you a hard time, dude.
I know. I can tell. Out of 1 to 10. I'm getting confused. I mean, shit. Anyway... The only highlights I can give for this movie are these, and that's it. All right. The black oil scene, that was kind of cool. All right. When it was going after them and they're running from it, and then the guy falls, gets pushed into it by PETA, and then all of a sudden all these cables and wires and chains fucking yank the guy up into the sky.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Eviscerated him.
Yeah. Well, PG-13 eviscerated.
It showed the guts on the ground.
Did it?
Yeah. It didn't show it. They eviscerated them as they're walking.
Uh-huh.
Fucking, I don't know who it was. Jennifer Lawrence, Katniss's character. Katniss. Yeah. As she's walking, she stopped underneath the body and then looked down, and you saw the pile of guts there.
Okay. But it was all black. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It looked like a pile of oily rags.
Yeah, you were right, man. The movie's not afraid to kill people, so I'll give it that. All right. The other thing I liked was the sewer mutts. Those things look like almost like a pale version of the Lickers from Resident Evil,
uh-huh.
where they had no eyeballs and shit. Those were creepy. I thought they did a decent job with it, and they didn't have it constantly in your face the whole time they were down there. Instead, it was just you hear a scream in the background, and you know finally they show up, and it was decent. I liked it.
Right.
And then the mini parachutes. I had already written that down. But yeah, the mini parachute scene was, I knew it was going to happen.
Brutal and devastating.
I knew it was going to happen, but still, it was good. That was good. But that's it. I mean, even Donald Sutherland, man, he was held back. He barely got to fucking say anything, you know? And there should have been, in that final scene with him and Katniss before his execution, when she goes to the greenhouse to talk to him,
uh-huh.
it should have been more. There should have been more to it. This whole movie needed more.
And yeah, it was missing a lot.
And I don't mean more time. I just mean more substance. It needed it, and it fucking doesn't have it. It's bland.
Yeah.
This movie is as bland as PETA and Katniss's relationship. That's it. That's it. That's all.
Okay.
So.
I'm right there with you with your rating, 3.5.
Yeah. Fuck Mockingjay, and fuck you guys for not doing it right, not ending it right. You know, and look, Jennifer Lawrence, you know she's going to keep being Hollywood's darling and doing great roles and stuff like that, okay? But this one, I think it just needs to be forgotten and written off because I don't even want to think of her as Katniss Everdeen anymore.
Right.
And that sucks because I enjoyed the other films a lot. So, whatever.
So there.
Yes. Yeah, so I would call this movie a piece of shit.
Okay.
I would.
Okay.
Because of the scale. So, Netflix pick of the week. Mine is the new show from Marvel called Jessica Jones. Now, I've only seen the first episode, and I have purposely not read about the comic book character because I want to be surprised on the show.
Like, I know nothing about Jessica Jones.
Me neither. So, I don't know what her special powers are in the comic book. I don't know any of the characters she's affiliated with. I don't know shit.
She's affiliated with Daredevil. She's all in Hell's Kitchen, so.
Yeah. And so
that's why they're doing this, because they're trying to expand that area of New York out.
The first season is 13 episodes. They're all on Netflix right now. The main character, Jessica Jones, is played by Kristen Ritter, who people who are Breaking Bad fans. She was in it was either the second or third season. She was the heroin junkie girlfriend of Pinkman. So she was a really good character on that. You really fell for her. She,
as opposed to the other fucking roles that she's been in and like the 10 other movies.
I know, but that's what I remember her from is Breaking Bad. So, and a lot of the shows that she was on, I didn't watch. So, like the Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment or whatever the fuck. I don't remember.
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 3.
Something like that, yeah. So, I never saw any of those. But
wouldn't want to say bitch. Just say, don't trust that bitch.
I know. Like shit my dad says. I'm sorry. More like S.
Yeah.
My dad says.
Stuff my dad says.
Yeah. So, this is a judgment call off of just the first episode. I am in. All right. It is dark. It is, it has a Constantine vibe to it. And I mean both Constantines. I mean the movie Constantine, and it also has the television series Constantine vibe to it. It is, the characters don't feel like they're being held back by the material. Everyone seems to be completely honest with whoever they are, regardless of if they're undesirable characters or not. They are just there. And each character that I saw in this first episode, Luke Cage pops up in it. There's sex scenes in it, which they're borderline PG-13 to R. There are. I mean, you see the same thing on FX, but you know, it's like, damn, I did not expect Marvel Studios to be, you know, allowing this shit. And they do.
It's because they know how to do shit right.
Yeah, exactly. So, the character, you get to see a few of her powers in the first episode. She has these psychic abilities. She has abnormal strength. But not strength like Hulk strength, but enough to like fuck anybody up that gets in her way that isn't superhuman. And you can tell that she's inhibited by demons of her past, and also she's an alcoholic. There's other characters that show up in there. One is played by Carrie Ann Moss. Mike.
I haven't heard that name in
Trinity. Yeah, I know.
Years.
I've barely seen her in anything since she played Trinity in Matrix. But Luke Cage is in it, played by Mike Coulter, who I don't even really know what I've seen him in. But and then David Tennant, who David Tennant played Barty Crouch Jr. in Goblet of Fire. Okay.
Okay.
The one that kept licking, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was also in the Fright Night movie. He played the Roddy McDowell character from the Fright Night remake. I like that actor. He's very energetic.
I've hated the Fright Night remake.
You hated it? I fucking loved it. My kids love it too. They're like, dude, every 2 weeks they want to watch the Fright Night remake again.
It's because your kids are fucking retarded.
No, it was fun. It was a fun movie. I loved it.
No.
Okay, whatever.
No. You need Chris Sarandon.
He was in it. He got fucking killed.
You need Marcy Darcy.
Marcy Darcy. I knew you were going to say that.
And you need the old guy, the fucking TV guy.
Yeah, Roddy McDowell's character.
Yeah, yeah. You need those. You don't need. Yeah, you don't need really need Marcy Darcy. But as an older Marcy Darcy. Oh, and you need what's his name? The kid that he was in People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about the character that Christopher Mintz-Plasse ended up playing in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, McLovin, he played him.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse's character in Fright Night 2 was awful. Well, he was fucking terrible. He's just playing himself.
Yeah, luckily, he wasn't in a lot of the movie, so that didn't bother me. I liked it because the movie did clever things.
I want to punch Christopher Mintz-Plasse in his fucking lisping mouth.
I agree. And as McLovin,
tired of his shit.
As McLovin was great. In the first Kick-Ass, he was okay. But then after that, just fucking, and Role Models. I liked him in that too. But that's it. No more.
Well, yeah, he was pretty funny in Role Models.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I totally agree with you. But with Fright Night, I thought it was fun, man. I liked, Colin Farrell's version.
The ending was shitty. Oh, on a fucking desert road?
No, that was halfway through the movie. That was when they get attacked in the minivan. But
oh, that's right. They tried to replicate the ending of the original movie, but they went into the basement where there's a whole bunch of bodies being dealt with.
Yeah.
Fucking cares.
So anyway.
fuck them. Anyways, back to Jessica
Jones.
That
was David Tennant. Anyway, he was in that movie. He played the Roddy McDowell character. He was funny in that. I liked him in that. So sorry. Sorry you didn't like it. Anyway,
I'm not because it was awful.
If this series is just as good as the first episode, I'm completely on board. I like how it's dark, just like how Daredevil is dark.
Is it Fargo good?
No, but it is intriguing. The characters are intriguing. And like I said, they're not held back.
Okay.
Like they would be on a regular ABC channel.
Okay.
You know, like with S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. So these characters are fucking honest.
Is it better than S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So far,
is it as good as Daredevil?
Yes, or it's showing that it can be as good as Daredevil.
Okay,
so
look, if somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, I just saw this TV show and it's as good as Fargo," I'm in.
Yeah,
because if your shit is as good as Fargo, I can't lose.
I would say that it has Fargo potential.
Okay,
I will say that. But yeah, it's really good. Check it out. I'll give you an update next time we're on or something. Cause you know me, I blow through a whole season of a show really quick. So I'll have it done next time we're on.
Yeah, maybe you should do that with Fargo. Maybe you should try and find that online and watch it.
Yeah, I'd rather watch it with you. I like spending time with you, Michael.
It ain't going to happen.
All right. Anyway.
Hour and a half fucking TV shows.
They're not an hour and a half.
They are.
It says that on there, but the commercials.
It's a fucking hour and a half.
Anyway.
Stop arguing with me about shit.
Anyway.
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up. Netflix, or sorry, your pick of the week.
My pick of the week is Airplane.
Your non-Netflix pick of the week.
I don't watch much Netflix.
Yeah.
Because
it's free and I don't do free.
No, I just.
I'd rather watch my $200 a month cable shows.
Because I don't give a fuck about Netflix. Because every time I get on Netflix and I try to watch something, I have to go through this enormous amount of bullshit to search through stuff.
They have a horrible search system.
And I'm tired of that. And then, I'm not picking on you.
Yeah.
Just the Netflix in general.
Yeah.
Where then you have to go and search. Do you have to pee?
Yes.
Really?
How could you tell? The bouncing up and down is like distracting my bladder.
It's bugging the shit out of me.
Sorry.
Stop it. Stop it. Now, but going through their menu shit bugs me as well.
Yeah.
And you have to fucking scroll through everything. And like they'll have like current or new stuff or what's trending now.
Yeah.
I hate that. Fuck you and your trending.
You notice that in the trending, it's almost all of their shows, their original shows are on there.
Yeah. I don't care about what's trending now. That's as bad as NFL Network doing the trending thing.
Yeah.
What's trending on Twitter right now with Marshawn Lynch? Well, we've had 32,000 hits just from the Seahawks. And mentioning Marshawn Lynch. But if you just mention Marshawn, then we get another 15,000 people that are talking about Marshawn Lynch. It's like, who gives a fuck about your stupid trending bullshit?
Hashtag we blow ourselves.
Yeah, hashtag fuck off. So watching Netflix is a chore for me.
I hate their searching. I you know, because you pull up anything and it gives you usually a collection of movies that no one ever wants to see. You know, like old classic horror films that not, I don't even want to call them classic. They're just offbeat that you've never heard of or you wish that you'd never heard of.
I like that shit.
I'm talking about like fucking Italian horror shit. I mean, low budget.
Well, yeah,
shitty.
But the Italian horror shit usually has Christopher Lee in it.
I don't mean like Argento shit type shit. I'm talking about like shit that no one remembers.
Yeah, you got the Hammer films and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And, okay, so getting on with it.
Yeah.
Because people want to hear. Airplane. I watched Airplane because when you watch movies like Airplane, I also watch Kentucky Fried Movie.
I saw that once.
There's that's Johnny Dangerous.
I know.
There's a lot in common between Kentucky Fried Movie and Airplane.
Well, they're made by the same guys, right?
Including names and specific names like Rex Kramer, you know, from Airplane, and which is played by Robert Stack.
Yeah.
They also have I think they even used Ted Stryker in the movie at one point. Anyways, okay. When you watch Airplane, it is so fucking wrong from the moment. Let me just set the scene. The entire movie opens up on an airport, and it looks just like Sacramento Airport, by the way.
Okay.
It's not, but it's like L.A., LAX, or Chicago, LAX, because they're going from L.A. to Chicago. But they don't, when they introduce the characters, they don't introduce the characters. You see everybody that's on the plane in some sort of establishing shot that goes to background, or background that comes to foreground.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the black dudes that speak jive.
Yeah.
Right? They're getting out of the taxi. So, that's an establishing shot. You see them getting out of the taxi. You don't hear them talking. Let me finish. Don't just...
I was going to support you.
And then you see Joey Suzu, the guy that played Joey Suzu. And he's in the background coming forward, and he's Hare Krishna, but he's talking with his buddy,
yeah,
who is also another famous comedian guy. And as he kind of looks like... who's that sports guy? Rich...
Eisen?
Yes, thank you. He looks like Rich Eisen. But they're talking, right? And then they walk into the airport, and then this lady comes up, like, dressed in, like, a sweater or whatever, and gives them some bullshit story, just like they used to do with the Hare Krishnas.
Yeah.
You know, would you like to donate to the children's charity? He's like, no, thanks, we gave it the office, right?
Yeah.
But as it goes on, there's always shit like that going on. You see in the background, in the foreground, everything, all of the passengers.
Like with Cannonball Run?
No.
I mean, when the movie first starts.
No, this is completely different.
Okay.
The movie first starts in Cannonball Run, all you're seeing is the Lamborghini, and that's it.
You know what it was? I thought you meant when you said by establishing, I thought you meant like the introduction to all these characters.
That's what I mean.
Without saying, but you're saying that you'll even just see them in the background while they're introducing other characters.
Yeah, there is no dialogue. Yeah. They don't say, you know, we're going on an airplane to Chicago.
They did that in Rat Race.
But
that.
What they do is they just pan back and forth, you know, as you see people unloading and loading into their cars.
Yeah.
And then you have the overhead announcers, you know, the white zone is for loading and unloading. And then you have the lady going, the white zone is for loading and unloading. You know, and the red zone's for no parking, and the yellow zone's for this and that. So, you know, it's like, no, the white zone's for, you know, you can't park in a white zone. And then they start arguing. I know what this is all about. You want me to have an abortion, don't you? The fucking dialogue is so great. Especially when they say things like, you know, a hospital, you know, Bob's in the hospital. A hospital? What is it? Well, it's a place where nurses and doctors go to work, but that's not important right now. And I always keep that in the back of my mind when I'm having conversations from waiting for people to say this, what is it? And then you could say, you know,
yeah,
well, it's a place for or whatever. But ultimately, Airplane is a movie that everybody can learn from in terms of art direction, writing.
Comedic timing.
Absolute timing. You know, when you have Peter Graves playing the captain.
Ever seen a grown man naked?
Yeah. Bobby, do you like movies about gladiators? When they go through the whole over-unger-unger-done.
Yeah.
And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar keeps saying, huh?
Yeah.
When they get that whole timing done, it is so fucking funny. And it's just brief scenes.
Yeah. I remember you, when we talked about Airplane before, and you kept bringing up the scene where... Bridges is holding a
Lloyd
cigarette,
Bridges.
And the guy's moving the coffee cup or something like that.
I think that's Airplane too.
Okay,
but it may be Airplane. That scene, and yeah, Lloyd Bridges is talking, and he's telling you now, Stryker, you got to do this, you got to do that. And as he's talking, he's moving his cigarette,
yeah,
and he throws a cigarette into the coffee cup, and then he takes out another one and lights it again.
Yeah,
right. And then Connor, Chuck Connor, the rifleman, comes and sits because he had gotten up and left.
Yeah.
And then he came back and then he drank the coffee.
Yeah.
Now he's drinking the coffee next to Lloyd Bridges, who's smoking and talking Stryker through this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then he spits the coffee out and gets up and goes and gets another cup. He comes back. Now he has two styrofoam cups together. He didn't get a new cup.
Yeah.
He went and literally got another cup and just stuffed it in, just like anybody else would. And he sets it down, and he's sitting there, and he's watching Bridges with the cigarette.
Motioning with it.
Right. So as Bridges brings a cigarette over, he moves his coffee cup in time with the cigarette.
Yeah.
And you know, so that when Bridges tries to put his cigarette down, he moves the coffee cup out of the way, and then Bridges brings his arm back and takes a puff off the cigarette.
Yeah.
And he does it like three times, and then Connor gets distracted by something. Bridges brings a cigarette back, and Connor sees it at the last minute and puts his hand over the coffee cup, and the cigarette goes out on his hand.
Yeah.
And he goes, ah, and he gets up and walks away, and then he comes back.
Is that kind of like Chuck Jones's animation?
It absolutely is.
Okay.
It's development of character.
Yeah.
You know? Whenever we see, like, fucking Lloyd Bridges drinking an entire thing of a fifth of JD, right? And then he's just completely blitzed, and he gets up, and he does this whole entire speech to encourage the troops.
Yeah.
And he fucking falls face down, you know? And everybody just kind of looks over at him. One of the guys that plays the bad guy, he was in Beverly Hills Cop and everything else. And he's watching. He's like, this guy's he's at 500 feet back up to 1100 feet. What an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
Just little things like that.
I think one of the funniest things I ever saw Lloyd Bridges do was in Hot Shots. When the part where he's eating pudding and his like second in command comes up to him and Lloyd Bridges just goes, pudding? And it fucking flies out of his mouth and just slaps the dude right on his face.
Yeah, the guy that looks like a fat version of Bruno Kirby, he was in Goodfellas. Not good, like a Few Good Men.
Okay. Oh, Kevin Pollak? Or
no.
He
played Tom Cruise's go-to guy, and then he got killed, I think.
In A Few Good Men?
Yeah.
The only person that died was at the beginning of the movie.
I think that was him.
Hmm. Huh. Kevin Bacon, Kevin Pollak. Oh!
Yeah.
The guy that shot himself in the... Okay.
I think that's him.
Yeah. God damn it, I know his fucking name.
Yeah, but he looks like a fat Bruno Kirby.
Yeah, he always looked like you could tell that he eats a lot of red meat or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... But if you're going to learn how to do comedy and timing and writing and all this other stuff...
Yeah.
Airplane, even the sequel, although the sequel's not as good, but, you know, when you have a movie that's basically just a parody of itself, you can't really go wrong with it.
Yeah.
And it didn't have Leslie Nielsen in it. Although it did have the guy that played the governor and Benson in it. So can't go wrong with that.
No.
Put your head between your legs.
JT and, Walsh.
Yeah. And then when they're doing the crash sequence in Airplane 2 and she's walking through, it's like, you got to, you know, you take your seat cushion and you do this and you put your head between your own legs. Your own legs, father, you know. He sits up. He's all surprised.
Yeah, I love the whole jive scene. That was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen Airplane, but.
I'm sorry I don't do impressions.
Don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry I don't do impressions. My primary specialty is psychology. Of course.
You've been waiting forever to be able to use that line on someone, and no one ever sets it up properly.
No one ever sets it up properly.
One time I tried to set it up properly for you, and you were distracted by something, and it wouldn't really matter anyway.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then they had Raymond Burr as the judge, you know, in part two.
Yeah.
Where Elaine, so many good parts. Elaine's talking about, you know, like a romance novel. You know, she's like, and then we would look into each other's eyes and we would have that love that was, you know, endless in time. And then she looked at the judge and, have you ever felt like that? And he's like, yes, I have. You know, when usually people go, no.
Yeah.
And then like during the end of the movie, the end of Airplane, you know, because I keep going back and forth between the two. But the end of Airplane, when they find out, oh, I'm sorry, Airplane 2, because Sonny Bono has a bomb.
Oh.
So Stryker Robert Hayes has to get the bomb from him, right?
Yeah.
And as he's walking, he's doing this speech, and then he has all these people behind, getting closer and closer behind him, right? And they have their arms on his shoulders, and he stops periodically and looks back like this, like, you know, left and right, like, what the fuck are these people doing, you know? And then he walks forward again, and the crowd keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah.
And Sonny Bone's like, keep away from me! And then as he's running out of room, he stops. and he keeps looking, and all these people are still behind. It's a fucking huge crowd of people now, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of walking forward, he dips and walks forward, and all the people behind him fall. Again, strategic timing. I mean, it's one of those things where people have to, you have to be ready for it, but not ready for it.
It just seems like in comedies nowadays, no one puts that extra effort into them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's half the problem. Like, if you watch, like, American Pie or whatever, yeah, they're funny, but they're not fucking intelligent funny.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have the shit films, you know, these fucking awful, now they're direct-to-video films, like the Faster and Furious-er.
Yeah.
With, you know, and it's the same guys that did done, not Scary Movie, but Scary Movie, Epic Movie.
Epic Movie, yeah, fucking Date Movie.
Yeah.
Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, it's the same guys that have put that shit together, and now they're just doing direct to TV video or direct to video.
It's just lazy mimicking.
Yeah.
That's it.
Meet the Spartans. That's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, guess what? That movie had about two funny scenes, and they were right at the beginning, and then after that it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Completely dumb and wasted. Yeah. So they even had superhero movie.
Yeah, all of it's just fucking retarded.
Yeah.
And there's nothing interesting about those movies because someone can sit down and write a parody, you know, and string together a bunch of fucking scenes that doesn't make any sense. But then you could have Abrams and Zucker do something like Kentucky Fried Movie,
yeah,
which absolutely makes no fucking sense. And then and everything is like a coming attraction preview.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a, you know, preview of coming attractions. And then they do the movie, which is, you know, the Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah.
And then they have it's a preview of coming attractions, and then they have coming preview of attractions or some shit like that at the end, or a preview of a preview for coming attractions.
There was a movie like that I like called Amazon Women on the Moon.
Yeah, with Robert Townsend.
Yeah, there was some funny skits in that.
See, sometimes I can remember people.
Like the Ed Begley Jr.
Well, Amazon Women on the Moon was supposed to be a sequel to Kentucky Fried Movie.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, cause there was just funny skits in that damn thing. I liked it. You know, David Alan Greer is a white guy, or black guy with no soul.
Yeah.
And, God, the horrible actual Amazon Women on the Moon old with sci-fi Bill Maher film. Yeah, it was, man.
Or is that Amazon Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death?
Bill
Maher was in that one.
I know Bill Maher was in movies in the 80s. I remember that. There was a scene where there's a horror film where he gets thrown out of a window and he's falling and he has a little teeny Leslie Chow dick as he's falling out. Like, you know, he's falling, you know, back first.
Right.
Towards the ground. And it, yeah, I'm like, God damn, dude. I think he should have been wearing underwear.
Who cares? he's not embarrassed by his teeny Jewish dick.
No. You know why? Because he distracts everyone with all the shit he talks about everyone else. So.
Anyways, if you're going to watch a movie, if you really want to watch a comedy and you haven't seen one in a long time, you haven't seen this in a long time,
yeah,
absolutely. Go out and get this movie or get it on Netflix if it's available or Hulu or wherever. Both of them. Even Airplane 2 is not as good as the first one.
But it still has a lot of funny-ass scenes in it.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's nothing cringeworthy. They're just fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. So, lastly, we're going to talk about the new Captain America Civil War.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
Are we?
Fucking A.
I watched that trailer, and I didn't see Black Panther in it.
Oh, I did. I saw him.
I wasn't really paying attention.
They show him at least twice. It looks like in a parking garage you see him, and then when there's a scene where they're running, where all the Avengers are running.
I wanted to see Spider-Man.
And I didn't see Spider-Man in it.
I wanted to see Spider-Man.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping, I want to be surprised by Spider-Man because, you know, we've been let down so many times now lately about
Spider-Man. He's in the movie.
Yeah, I know, but I want to see him in the movie. I don't want to see him in any trailers or anything. I just want to see him in the fucking movie.
I wanted to see him swing across. That was it.
Just kick Iron Man in the face?
No, just swing across. I don't know what side of the whole Mutant Registration Act. I don't know what side he's on.
I would assume since Peter Parker's technically kind of a mutant because he has superpowers.
He's a mutant.
That... Yeah, so that he would be on Captain America's side because Tony Stark is the one that's
I don't know. I can't remember.
So anyway, but...
I don't think he is. I think he's on Tony Stark's side.
This movie feels like it's going to be just as good as Winter Soldier.
This movie looks really fucking good.
Yeah.
Especially that fight scene at the end between Iron Man and Bucky and Captain America.
I love when they do something like that and it feels like someone's going to die.
Well, I mean, and it was so well done. And they're coordinating and with the shield bouncing off of them and punching and, you know.
And look at, you notice.
Like, fuck, that's awesome.
You notice how Marvel, they're shelling out 2-3 films a year now. And yet they're doing it right. So
I want to see the fucking Doctor Strange trailer. Give me a teaser of that.
We'll get it soon.
Hopefully.
Because it's out next year, so. Yeah.
Give me the Doctor Strange teaser.
Hell, what if there's a teaser with Star Wars?
No, we won't see that. We'll see Civil War with Star Wars, but yeah. and the Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron. Well, might as well call it Age of Ultron. Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah. So
Age of Ultron Eclipse. Apocatron.
You know what? I bought recently Age of Ultron on Blu-ray.
I'm sorry.
And man, you watch this second time and it reinforces my review on the film. The scenes where the characters are actually sitting down and talking to each other are the best scenes of the film. But when it gets to a lot of the action, especially the Ultron action, it just feels like it's copying off of the first Avengers with their battle against the aliens at the end of the movie.
Right.
Man, what a waste of time. You're right, dude. I totally get you when you're talking about Joss Whedon. Maybe it is time that he needs to just step back and let someone else take over like the Russo brothers.
I don't believe the hype of Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's obviously, he's got stuff to tell. He had problems with Ultron, and he'll tell you upright.
Yeah.
He's said it in the past. But comparatively, if you put Gunn and the Russo brothers, and we're just talking about directors for now, not in the past. I'm not going to go Lucas or Spielberg.
Yeah.
But if you compare directors, even Miller, George Miller, they're far superior than Joss Whedon is. It's because when you sit down and look at their overall work, and Whedon has a lot of stuff, but I mean, was Firefly really that good?
I love Firefly.
I don't give a shit if you love it. Was it really that good?
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
To you?
No, it wasn't. If it was that good, it would have lasted longer than a season or 12 episodes or whatever the fuck it lasted. Dollhouse.
Buffy.
Buffy was fine. Buffy had the good thing about Buffy is that they let that one simmer.
Yeah.
And then it ran for however fucking long it ran, 20 years or 10 years or 15.
It was like 10, 11 seasons, I think.
Plus you had the
Angel spinoff,
which lasted another 5 or 6years.
And they almost did a Spike spinoff too.
Right. But again, The Buffy thing was campy and fun. And then Firefly came out. Look, everybody has their opinions about Firefly. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, was it that good? No, it wasn't that good.
It deserved to be a full series.
It deserved a lot of things. But Joss Whedon is not the be-all, end-all. And that's what a lot of people keep forgetting is that, look, this guy's responsible for Alien 3 or 5 or one of the bad aliens. He's responsible for one of the Alien movies.
Was he involved with Resurrection?
Yes.
Huh, okay.
So right there, fuck him. I can't.
You know what?
He even admits that he's responsible for one of the Alien movies, and he can't. He has no defense against
that. Which one, Requiem?
Yeah, 5 or whatever the fuck it was.
Alien vs. Predator, Requiem?
No, it was Alien 5.
Well,
Resurrection.
Yeah. So with the Avengers, I can see over time that movie, even though I love the Avengers, the first film, it's campy. A lot of it's campy. The dialogue and the interactions.
Not really.
It's a little bit campy.
Mm.
All right. So I want to end this because I have to take the fucking worst piss in the world right now.
I don't care.
And you talked about Airplane for so goddamn long. And I just sat here and I took it. And I'm moving around. I'm scrunching. I need to end this fucking show. Can we end it now?
All right.
Civil War looks fucking awesome. We will see it. And we're going to talk about it next year. So
next movie coming up is either The Night Before or...
Yeah, with Seth Rogen.
Or
Creed.
No.
I'm not going
to go see Creed.
I'm seeing Creed. So
I have no interest in seeing a Rocky movie.
I'm going to be seeing Creed. I don't know when, but I plan on seeing it very soon.
Or The Good Dinosaur.
So we'll let you know next time on a couple of Average Joe's movie reviews. Got to take a piss edition. I am Joe Spiegel. Come on, dude. I got to fucking pee. Just say goodnight.
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Am I a prick right now?
Oh, yeah. You're about to see a wet prick.
So.
Okay. I'm good.
All right.
I think it's warm. Very warm. All right, good night.
I got to go to the bathroom. Where's your bathroom? It's over there. All right, I don't have to go now.
Oh, okay, bye.
Bye.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening. You can find us on iTunes or any podcast app, or you can download the SoundCloud app and search diecast.com, DIICASTDOTCOM, all one word. You can also find us on Facebook at diecast.com. So that's facebook.com/diecast.com. Please share the podcast. The more people that listen, the better off we are. Thanks again.
For more great podcasts and my movie reviews, don't forget to visit www.acoupleofaverageshows.com.
This is the end. It's the end. Finito! The end, I tell you! We're all going to nibble the dust!
Or go fuck yourself.